Hello and welcome to the Somatic Movement and Mindset podcast with me, clinical somatic educator and founder of Total Somatics, Heidi Hadley. The Somatic Movement and Mindset podcast has been designed to help you gain a deeper understanding to how your mind and body work. You will learn about your amazing mind and body and why over time you can feel pain, recurring injuries and poor posture. Within this podcast, I will teach you why this doesn't have to be your future or the norm for you. Would you like to learn how to reduce pain, move freely, and gain a new lease of life? Let's get started. Hello and welcome back. Now in today's episode, we're going to delve into the neurophysiology of stress and trauma. The reason for this episode is that during the Total Somatics Live experience in September 2021, there were many questions asked, and in particular, something that was recurring was the subject about stress, anxiety, how it reacts and shows up in your body, and how Total Somatics can actually help with dealing with stress and trauma. So let us consider how stress affects everybody, and you know, especially at the moment with ongoing demands and different events that people have been witnessing, it basically begins to create different types of stress responses for us. So to begin with, let's consider the basic stress response. Now, if you've listened to many of my episodes, if you've watched my live workshops, if you've read my ebook, you're going to know that very often I'll refer back to the stress response regarding the saber-toothed tiger and the cave person. Now, the stress response back then is identical to now. The difference is that the stressful triggers that we have now can be things like an obnoxious boss, ongoing daily demands, family sickness, and our own health issues, and there could be economic factors to consider as well here. So whatever the situation, your nervous system continues to recreate the stress response, and so it generates the same physiological effects on your mind and body. Now, within our brain, we have this area known as the reptilian brain. And this area of our brain is subconscious, so it basically works with your limbic system and your amygdala. Now, these are survival mechanisms, so there's no learning happening in this area. It's purely instinctive. And so within this region, this is where those three well-known stress responses are housed that I often refer to, and that's the fight, the flight or flee, and the freeze response. So when we fight, that's when we hold our ground and we take the enemy on. When we flee, that's that increase of blood flow to our legs and also an increase of oxygen intake into our blood. And then when we freeze, we make ourselves as small as possible. This is when our heart rate slows right down, our energy levels drop, and basically everything starts to slow down. And we can see this response of the freeze within the animal kingdom. For instance, have you ever watched a documentary where the predator just walks around animals and there could be an animal that's feigning death? So it's almost like a freeze state. So that's when their heart rate slows down. That's when their breathing becomes so shallow and they're kind of immobilized basically. So they are feigning death. Now that response can also be shown up in our day-to-day activities if we continue to live in that stress response as well as one of the other two. Now these three responses that I referred to will show up within our mind and body in different ways. And again, I'd like to just break this down. So for example, if we think of the fight response, this is when a person can become very aggressive. They can act superior. They can become quite intimidating. And then they can develop tension within their neck, their jaw, their arms. You'll notice that their voice gets louder and their eyes become narrow and focused on the target. Almost that sort of aggressive narrowing of the eyes. And then we have this flight or flee response. Now this response is about wanting to escape. So the feelings of anxiety and being overwhelmed start to occur. You'll see that hands can be quite shaky. They might start wringing their fingers, holding their fingers, wringing their hands. And sometimes you'll see that that person may be messing with a pen, with their ring, or another object. And also another common sign that you'll see is they start fidgeting their feet. And their voice can also become quite unstable and hoarse. And the person may actually have like palpitations, and they might start feeling confusion, or they start to develop like insomnia. Because if you think about it, in a stress response, the last thing that your nervous system thinks it's safe to do is to sleep. Instead, your nervous system is basically saying, run for your life. And also, because of this reason, we just stay on that high alert. And also, another sign of this flee or flight response is that we might need to go to the toilet a lot. Now, during that freeze response, this is where a person wants to make themselves as small as possible, and they're searching out for protection. So you'll notice that their eyes are darting from one place to another very quickly, very like hyperactive in their eye movement. And they can feel very demoralized and have this sense of like helplessness or feeling very vulnerable. And they develop that sense of doom or feeling very alone. And they have expressions such as, we just can't do this, which can then be accompanied by crying, this low voice volume, and also difficulty breathing. And due to them being in this frozen state of fear, their energy is rock bottom and their movements are so slow, and so is their voice at times too. And so that's why within Total Somatics, we're also looking at how the central nervous system is translating into your musculature. And we're observing ourselves, and we're also noticing others, and we're gaining a deeper insight into our own as well as other people's central nervous system. You see, we can gauge which stress response we're in, but we can also look and notice what other people are being held captive to also. Now, you might think to yourself, what's she on about? What's she going on about when she says being held captive to? Well, we deal with daily stress, and unless we know how to pandiculate and release these subconscious stress responses by releasing those muscular tension patterns, we will continue to hold ourselves very tight. And so as a result, we begin to layer stressful events, and we have these poor habits, and then we have limiting beliefs that we hold within our mindset. And basically what we think about will grow, and that will also show up in our body. You see, our mind and body, remember, they're so intertwined, we can't separate them. So whatever we feed our mind will start to show up in how we move, how we hold our body, the level of tension within our system. And so this is why it becomes gradual. It increases over time. So we slowly turn up that dial. It's only when we start getting pain, limited mobility, we see changes in different ways within our body, that we then realise there's something we need to do to change it. And so this is what's really interesting, is that your central nervous system doesn't actually know the difference between perceived and actual danger. So either on a perceived or real danger, there's this area within your brain called the hypothalamus. And in the hypothalamus, what happens is in a stressful response, it actually releases a hormone. And what happens is this hormone travels a short distance to your pituitary gland. And when it gets to the pituitary gland, it actually releases another hormone. Now, when this hormone is kind of created, that then acts on your adrenal glands, and then it releases cortisol. And we know all about cortisol, don't we? Because this influences every single tissue or every single cell in our body. You see, the immediate effects of cortisol is to dampen down the stress response, but it also decreases your immune activity to keep it within safe parameters. But you know, there's this functional connection between these areas of your brain called the hypothalamus and the pituitary, and also with your adrenal glands. And it's actually known as the HPA axis, because it's the center for where your body's stress mechanism is linked with many health conditions. And so it's really cool, actually, because the hypothalamus has this two-way communication between your brain center and also how it processes emotions. And so it really is the link between your emotional processing within this HPA axis and also the direct effect within your immune system and other organs. And so this is where the science between your mind, your body, and disease are starting to show how these factors are linked. And so this is why in Total Somatics, it's really important that we take good care, not just of creating total somatic movement with pandiculation, but also taking great care of our mindset and developing mindfulness skills. Because we're dealing with a huge portion of our emotional and mental well-being. And when we also consider this within our total somatic practice, we know that we're really dealing with all areas and we're bringing everything back to listening to what's happening from within. You see, for different reasons, people have different levels of stress and trauma and anxiety and different things that have basically created events in their life to shape their soma the way they are to this very day. And so when we're dealing with ourselves, and as a practitioner, when I'm working with people within the Total Somatics membership and also within my clinic, what I find is that we have to work individually. So I create skills, I create the cues for people to work with. But this is where the power comes from, each individual starting to read themselves from the inside out. And this is so important because when somebody's had intense stress, anxiety, trauma, one thing that will happen is that they just disconnect. They no longer sense and feel from within. And that's the power of total somatics, is that we're wanting to get back into reading your internal world so that with the skills that I teach you within the Total Somatics membership, you're able to actually rest, recuperate and recalibrate. And when you do this, you can create a state of balance or homeostasis within your entire soma. And so, for example, I will often ask people to notice and sense subtle feedback from their mind and body. Initially, for instance, I'll get somebody that's had a lot of stress, anxiety, a lot of trauma to notice their breath. And I'll ask them things such as, is it shallow? Is it fast? Is it deep? Is it slow? And then I'll ask them to place their hands on their belly and then place their hands on their rib cage and actually start to sense and feel the natural rhythm and movement of their body. And I guide them with open questions, getting them to become curious. And you see, when they become curious, they have to activate an area of their brain called the prefrontal cortex. And when they activate their prefrontal cortex, this means that their limbic system and the amygdala, which is almost like a smoke alarm, it's that alarm clock that makes them reactive and responsive to a stress situation, that actually has to quieten down. Because when I start asking questions, when I start getting them to notice things, to be curious, to become aware, that means their prefrontal cortex actually is part of that emotional intelligence. It's about focus, awareness, concentration, decision making. And if you consider that, if I'm giving back that ownership to that person by getting them to be in control again and notice the movements, notice how they're feeling from within, that's where we start to increase those neural connections in a part of their brain, which is actually improving their conscious, their mindful awareness practice. And the more that we do this, a bit like we always talk about a muscle, the more you work a muscle, the stronger it gets. It's exactly the same with your brain. The more we keep repeating this action of stimulating your prefrontal cortex, MRI scans have shown that when we thicken the prefrontal cortex, the limbic system and that amygdala can't help but actually shrink in size because it no longer is being used as much. We're no longer living in that stress pattern or that stress response. We're starting to live more mindfully, more curious, more conscious. And so remember that if a person has a lot of anxiety, a lot of stress, a lot of trauma, they're often hypervigilant, so their eyes will dart all over the place. So to ask them to close their eyes can sometimes induce a fear response, and all the learning from their prefrontal cortex can just suddenly go because they go back into that stress response. So within total somatics, it's a great way for clients to reconnect with themselves, because when we're doing mindful total somatic movement, it's an internalized process, which means that changes can only be made when that person stops and starts to become reacquainted with themselves. And when they become aware of their breathing, when they notice the level of tension that they're holding in their abdomen, when they notice the subconscious tension that's been held in their glutes or the bum muscle, for instance, and the level of tension in their jaw, then they start to sense and they start to feel how their mind and body are connected, and more importantly, how they can learn to let go and release those long-held postural or stress patterns of tension that they've had for many, many years in some instances. And so that's what total somatic movement's about. It's the connection between your mood, your movement, your posture, and how we can integrate that by bringing about greater flexibility, not only in your muscles, but within your nervous system, which brings about greater resilience. And when we have that resilience, like we learnt in the workshops recently within the Total Somatics Experience, and also if you're a member within the membership, you'll know so much more within the workshops that I discuss with trauma and anxiety, that when we actually live in that window of capacity, then we have a greater level of resilience. We know that we're going to go into stress patterns and responses, but with total somatic education, we know the skills and techniques to come back into that window of capacity, which is where we want to live. That's where we're able to kind of create that level of balance or homeostasis. And with that, we have a level of relaxation, but a little bit of stimulation, because we don't want to be horizontal. We want to be alert and active, but we do not want to be living in that stress response 24/7. And that's why I encourage you to stay in touch with me within Total Somatics. So if you're not currently a Total Somatics member, but you're interested, please go to totalsomatics.com. Click on the Join Now page, and you'll see that there's a wait list for the next time that I open the doors to the membership. But in the meantime, please check out the online shop at totalsomatics.com. Also check out my free ebook, which is at totalsomatics.com. And keep up to date with my weekly podcasts. And also at times I have guest speakers within the podcast that are also supporting the Total Somatics members. Because I'm here to support you, and there's a wealth of information within the Total Somatics membership. So I do hope in the very near future you can join me and all the wonderful members from all around the world as I help you to improve your health and well-being by again bringing in total somatic movement, mindset and mindfulness. Until next time, take care. Thank you for joining me today. If you've enjoyed this episode, please leave a rating and also forward this on to somebody you know will benefit. To learn more about pain relief, plus how to improve your health and well-being, go to totalsomatics.com. Until next time, take care.